Fourth and final hour of the morning show presented by St. Mary's Healthcare System. David Johnston and Adam Wynn along with you. Thanks so much for joining us here as we bring in our buddy Bill Shanks from 93.1 FM in Macon, 99.5 FM in Warner Robins. Also, columnist for the Macon Telegraph, Macon.com. Brother Shanks, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great, David. Just trying to avoid the traffic here in Central Florida.
I was going
to
say, sounds like you're in a car. And
do I sound okay?
Oh, you sound all right. You sound great. First time caller, long time listener. That's what you sound like.
Long time listener, long time caller.
But exactly. Well, we do appreciate it. And what's the plan for today? It's kind of weird. The Braves didn't have a game yesterday, and they play tonight in spring training. It's almost impossible to go 36 hours without playing a game.
Yeah, no kidding. You know they enjoyed that day off yesterday. The entire park was closed, locked down. The players couldn't get in the clubhouse. The staff couldn't get in the clubhouse. They locked it down, not wanting anybody there, so they would all take a day off. And then I'm heading over there now. The minor leaguers will be practicing and getting ready for their game at 1 o'clock. And then I'll do my show and then go back and watch the end of the game against Detroit tonight. So yeah, it's a good little break for them a little bit. They've got about a week, of course, to go before they head to Atlanta, and they are ready to get out of here, believe me.
Oh, I'm sure. And who's pitching tonight for the Braves?
You know, I'm not sure. I think Verlander's pitching for Detroit, but I'm not even sure who's pitching for the Bravos. I'm not certain. Maybe Colon. I think it's Garcia.
Okay. I guess not that it matters one way or the other. I was just curious how they're situating the rotation to make to where it matches up to where Teron will be the opening day starter a week from Monday, I guess.
Right. Yeah, he's going to be the opening day starter, and they're trying to line it up. I'm not even certain how they're going to do it as far as the lineup, if you will, of the rotation. I think they're still trying to finalize that. I think they're trying to figure out what they're going to do as far as Dickey and Foltynewicz. And I tell you, David, Mike Foltynewicz is probably one of the biggest things this camp. He is having a great spring training, had a great performance on Tuesday against the Nationals. One run, five innings pitched, his ERA, I think, right around 2. They are really hoping this kid can take off this year, stay healthy, and give them, 30 starts and 200 innings, and let's see what he can do.
Yeah, and they're not – I mean, this is one of those – this is going to be a true five-man rotation, right, even with the off days?
Yes. I think with the couple of the guys being older, even with Dickey being a knuckleballer, their preference is to try to keep it as a five-man rotation and go as normal as possible.
But, I mean, it's not like if they have an open day that they would skip, like, Folty or something like that.
I don't think so. I mean, they've got a lot of days off in the first couple of weeks. They've got, I think, 3 in the first 2 weeks. That second week, they've got, like, a day off on Monday and a day off on Thursday. So, I mean, I'm not really 100% certain, but I don't think that the plan is to skip Folty at all.
Okay, because he's the fifth starter, but let's be serious, he ain't a fifth starter.
I hope not. Yeah, I mean, I think that's the hope, that if he may be slated fifth, first, but I don't think the plan is for him to be the quote unquote fifth guy, fifth best guy. I mean, they really think this guy's ready to take off, David. I mean, I think I may have mentioned that Tyler Flowers in my first trip said that if this kid's not the ace of the rotation going into next year, it's his own fault. And with that was early in spring, with the spring he's had, and he's done such a good job of really getting his emotions in check to not get upset when he has something go wrong, which young pitchers have to figure that out. And he's done a much better job of that. But stuff wise, we know what he's got, and we know, I think, what he is capable of if he's able to stay healthy. And that's you always say that about young starters. Give us 30 starts and close to 200 innings. Let's really see what you can do, and they're really wanting to see that from Folty this year.
Talking with Bill Shanks as the Braves get closer and closer to opening the season. All right, so Ozzie Albies got sent down to Gwinnett. That's not a surprise. How long do you think he'll be in Gwinnett? That's the question.
Well, I'm not really sure. I think that he is he's an advanced kid for his age, obviously, only 20 years old. He's just a little hitting machine. Now, the presence of Brandon Phillips, David, obviously gives them a luxury of not having to rush Ozzie. John Coppola has said that, you know, when Ozzie's ready, they're going to let him play. But I think that's still to be determined, because if Brandon Phillips is doing well, how are you going to move him out of the lineup? But they'll figure it out. You know what? Those things always kind of work out for themselves. But I don't think Ozzie's far away at all. I think he's very close to being able to contribute at a big league level. They want to make sure he's healthy with that elbow, obviously, and see how he kind of responds to playing time after having that issue last year that killed his season, or ended his season a little prematurely. So, but no, we could look at his first 2 months in Gwinnett and say, man, he may be ready to go, and they may have to make a decision on Brandon Phillips, and it may just depend on how Phillips is doing at that point. But I don't think Ozzie's far away at all, and it would not shock me if he were the starting second baseman sometime this year. But yet, I still believe that Brandon Phillips is going to have a good year. So it's kind of one of those good problems to have. But Phillips has had a good spring. They like him. He's kind of a different guy, as far as, you know, he's a veteran, so he's been through the wars a little bit. And he's kind of a rah-rah guy, though, which is good. And Freddie Freeman, I interviewed Freddie the other day, David, and you know, he said, we've got a good mix of personalities here. He said, I'm kind of laid back, and so is Nick Markakis. And Matt Kemp and Brandon Phillips are a little bit more, you know, rah-rah guys. And then Dansby's kind of even keeled. And so that kind of helps a good mix. But you can't give up on Phillips being a productive member of this team, because he's got a chance to be just that.
You know, people love to talk about the Braves farm league right now, and how it's one of the best in the league. Have you seen that bear out any in spring training, where some of these lower level guys are just really showing out against similar competition?
Oh yeah, I didn't see it on Tuesday, and I'd actually left to go do my show, but Ronald Acuna, who is one of the people really getting a lot of ink and a lot of publicity, he had 3 home runs in 1 minor league spring training game down here. And I think that got the attention of a lot of people. And there were a lot of scouts there on Tuesday watching those games. So he's a talented kid. There's no doubt about that. He's a very talented kid. And you know, I don't like the Andrew Jones comparisons, because I think that's a little unfair, but I think I understand why they're using that. But no, whether it's Ronald Acuna or the pitchers, Max Fried, who has done great work, Mike Soroka, Colby Allard, they're number one in Baseball America and MLB.com for a reason. They've got the best talent, and they've got the most talent as well. And the upside for some of these players is really there. You know, it's funny, you see a player. Someone was talking the other day back on the fields, a scout, about Mike Soroka, and they said, you know, I think he's a number 3 starter in the big leagues, and that's a pretty good pitcher. I mean, if you're a number 3 starter in a rotation in the major leagues, that, you know, you're one of the 100 best starting pitchers in the game. And you know, this kid's only 19 years old, and he just had a great year last year, and he's, you know, probably the 3rd or 4th best pitching prospect they've got. And so that says a lot about what they're accumulating here on these minor league fields right now.
So, Bill, as spring training winds down, are there any battles for, like, I mean, guess roster spots, position spots? I mean, who's going to be in the outfield behind Kemp and Inciarte and Markakis? And how does the infield, how is it going to roll around? I guess with Garcia being kind of a question mark too, so how do those positions play out?
Well, I think Garcia's okay, David.
He's gonna be okay.
Really, yeah, I think so. I mean, I, you know, he had a little bit of an injury issue, but I think that's not a problem. But I mean, Brian Snicker really has faith in Garcia, you know, and he came through for him last year. He did the job last year. I mean, you know, he's not Chipper over there, but he's done pretty. He's not Chris Johnson either. He did pretty well last year. And I think they're hoping he can give them more time. And if not, Rio Ruiz is right behind him in AAA. And Rio's had a very good camp and has a chance to be a big leaguer. You know, the bench right now needs help. I mean, they need to go get someone, and I think they will. John Coppola is too aggressive and has too many discussions to not go get someone for this bench, because right now, to answer your question, Emilio Bonifacio is the fourth outfielder, and he's had a good camp, but the problem is Bonifacio, Chase Darnot, Jace Peterson, and Kurt Suzuki are the four main bench guys, and not one of those guys can really provide any power. And you want some kind of power presence off your bench. I mean, that's, you know, something that you would like to have, someone who can hit a home run if they're presented the opportunity to pinch hit. So I think they're going to make a move between now and opening day to get another bat for that bench. And I'm, you know, the bullpen, David, is still a question mark. There's still a lot of questions in the bullpen. Now, Jim Johnson's had a good spring. Aroldis Vizcaino has had an outstanding spring. He's healthy. He's throwing the ball really well. They love him. They know if healthy, this kid can really do great things in the late innings for them. Ian Kroll has been solid for them. They think he's really ready to be one of the elite left-handed relievers in the game, and he's only 25 years old. You know, they've got some others. Eric O'Flaherty has had a great spring training, David, and he's healthy. You know, he's not the same pitcher he was a couple of years ago, but he still has some good stuff, and he's striking out people, and he's facing left-handed hitters and doing well against them. I think he's got a great shot to be in this bullpen. That's four. They got to decide whether they're going to have seven or eight guys in the bullpen. Blaine Boyer is a good possibility. Chaz Rowe is a good possibility. Jose Ramirez is a good possibility. Ramirez and Rowe actually are out of options, and the Braves really don't want to lose either one of those two, so that may determine whether they keep seven or eight relievers. But it's still a little bit of a question mark, and Josh Komender obviously is going to be the long guy, and I think the Braves are really happy to have him in that role, because whether he needs to have an emergency start or if he needs to come in and mop up for a bad game or give him three innings, he can do that. And I think in this day and age, to keep your bullpen from blowing up in May, you've got to have a guy like that. So he's pretty good. But there's still some questions about that bullpen, but the options are there, and they just got to see how it kind of plays out. But I think they're going to make at least one move for a bat off the bench before opening day.
We've been talking a lot about local products this morning, so I got to ask, where do you see Travis DeMeritt fitting in this year?
I think Travis is going to start at Double A and in Mississippi in the Southern League, and he's a good player. He's a real solid player. I'm anxious to see what he can do for the full year. Yeah, there are some that think that Travis, if he cuts down on his strikeouts, can be a better player than Ozzie Albies. I haven't seen him enough to know that, and I've just seen Ozzie more, so I'm a little biased toward Ozzie probably in that competition or in that discussion. But Travis has got power. He has got speed. I've seen him at second base. He looks good at second base to me, and he's a good ball player. He's a really tough for them to get him in a trade for Lucas Harrell and Dario Alvarez. I mean, how in the world did that happen? Because this kid's a good prospect, and I'm anxious to see if a full year in Double A, you know, what he can do. Because look, if he does have a good year in Double A, maybe they do have the option of having him as the future second baseman instead of Ozzie, or using Travis in a trade to get someone, because we got a big trade coming at some point. I don't know when it's coming, but I mean, they're going to have to alleviate some of these numbers issues at some point. And when you've got two prospects at second base like Ozzie Albies and Travis DeMeritt, more than likely one of them is going to be involved in a trade. So, but Travis is a really good prospect. They're really lucky to have him in this organization, and I can't wait to see what he does this year in Double A.
Hey, another pitcher I wanted to ask you about, lefty Paco Rodriguez. Is he in the mix too?
Yeah, he is, David. I think he may start the year on the disabled list. His I think he's having a little Tommy John residue issues going on. I don't think it's serious. I don't think they're too worried about it, but I think because he's coming off the Tommy John, they're just trying to be a little bit more careful with him than they would normally. You know, and they're going to be careful with pitchers anyway. But he's elbows barked at him a little bit, and I say that very, very lightly. I mean, he's just it's been a little uncomfortable for him at times. And, you know, sometimes those Tommy John guys, they've got to get through that first initial phase where they're throwing a lot more consistently. And he may be going through that right now, but, I mean, they like him a lot, and he's going to be in this bullpen this year at some point, no doubt.
Hey, when you were talking about pitching prospects and guys that were lining up there, I guess Whistler will be one of the starters in Gwinnett. Who else Who else will be like a starting pitcher on the AAA level for the Braves that might have that next chance to get the call up?
Well, three in particular, Aaron Blair, Matt Whistler, and Lucas Sims will be in AAA. And if they're doing well at any point and there's a starter needed in Atlanta, they could be called up. And the Braves still have confidence in those guys, but they think it's going to be good for Whistler and Blair in particular to go back down and to get back to where they were when they got traded over here, because Whistler was the Padres' best prospect, overall prospect, when they got traded to Atlanta, and Blair was the top pitching prospect for Arizona. So those will be the main three, though. And Lucas Sims, they still have confidence in him. He still has some value to them. But you know, here's the thing, David. Those guys in AAA, Blair, Whistler, and Sims, they have got to be careful, because I'm telling you, Max Reed is coming. And if he does well in AA and something happens, whether it's a trade of one of those veteran starters, or if one of those veteran starters goes down, or if Max Fried just shows, you got to put me in the big leagues here, he's going to pass those three guys in Gwinnett. So it almost pushes those guys into Gwinnett, and they probably know that. Those three are probably smart enough to know that Max Fried is knocking on the door loudly here, because I just think he's got a chance to be really good. I love Max Fried's potential, and he's going to be in AA. And if he pitches like he did both in spring training this year and at the end of last year, he could be in the big leagues by August.
You know, you say there's a big trade coming. I'm really curious to ask, we know who you think the Braves might give up in that trade. What needs do you think they would address with that, I guess, big trade that you're looking at happening?
Well, I see it like this. You know, they've got three guys in the rotation: R.A. Dickey, Bartolo Colon, and Jaime Garcia, who are under contract for this year. Now, only Dickey of those three can come back next year. They've got an option on him with a buyout. So if they didn't want him back, they could buy him out, and they could have three spots open in the rotation. But they're going to have either two or three spots open in the rotation next year. You're looking at, if everything goes well, Teron being one of those guys, Foltynewicz being one of those guys. Let's say one of those rookie pitchers, whether it's Fried or Sims or Whistler or Blair, they're not rookies, but, you know, one of those younger pitchers being one of those spots. The opportunity is there for them to bring in a top-notch starting pitcher, because they're going to have the financial wherewithal to do that with those contracts. I mean, Colon's $12.5 million. Garcia's, I think, $11 million. They're going to have $20 million, $22 million to play with in the rotation alone. So if they wanted to go out, for example, and you know, this is just me throwing things up against the wall,
sure,
here, but if they wanted to go out and get a veteran pitcher but not a 40-year-old, so let's say a 30- or a 31-year-old pitcher who may be under contract, who has experience, who would be a good number one or number two pitcher, and cost some money, well, I mean, the Braves are going to have the opportunity to do that with the financial flexibility and the players to be able to put in a trade like that. And you know, let me give you an example. And this is just an example. This is not a rumor. I don't want this to go crazy, because it's not. It's just me kind of throwing things out there. There's talk that Detroit is going to tear things down, that if they struggle this year, they may start trading off players like Ian Kinsler, or, I mean, you know, there was even talk over the offseason they may trade Miguel Cabrera. What if they decided to throw out Justin Verlander out there and see if anybody would bite on the remaining years of his contract? Now, he's getting paid a ton of money, but we know who Justin Verlander is, and this may be me simply wanting to see Kate Upton on a regular basis in Atlanta. But, you know, if Justin Verlander was available, his pitching coach in Detroit when he first came up to the big leagues was Chuck Hernandez, who is now the Braves pitching coach. And so I'm kind of putting things together here, but if they put him up for trade and the Braves said, you know what, we want to go get a big pitcher, that may be someone they would go after, and they've got the financial flexibility and the players to be able to offer in a trade to do that. And I just think, because of the depth issues, at some point they're going to have to make a trade like that, because if not, they're going to have players lining up to play and nowhere to go. So that's what depth will do for you. It'll give you that flexibility to go after a big player. And you know what? Look, it might be a third baseman. It might be a catcher. It might be, I mean, they're pretty much set at short. second, first for the next couple of years. They've got center field locked down for a while. You know, Kemp's here for three more years. Markakis for two more years. They've got Ronald Acuna behind Markakis, so they're okay in the outfield. So it may be a third baseman or a catcher. But at some point, I think because of their depth, I don't see how they can't make a big trade in the next 18 months.
Bill, always great talking to you. How long are you going to be down in Florida?
I'll be coming back this weekend and looking forward to that. So, yeah, just a couple more days down here, and I'm back headed home.
Oh, my man Adam has one more question.
One quick question for you. I have to ask, did you get to watch David Ross in Dancing with the Stars the other night?
You know, I did not live. I saw some of the video of that, and I tell you, David Ross is soaking up that World Series championship.
Yes,
and good
is.
For him. He, you know what? Those guys who won the World Series of the Cubs will never have to pay for a meal, and will have an interesting life for the rest of their days on this earth, because they're all probably going to soak it up. Look, Jason Hayward's got the worst batting average in spring training, and I don't think any Cubs fan cares one bit.
Doesn't matter at all. Well, safe travels back to Georgia. Thanks so much, and we'll catch you next Thursday.
Hey, and David, I wanted to tell you again, I enjoyed listening to you and Jeff on the game last Saturday when I was in Athens. Listened to you for a little while. You guys do a great job on those broadcasts.
Bill, that's nice of you to say. I really do appreciate that, and thanks for tweeting that out. We were most appreciative. Thank you.
All right. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay. Bill Shanks, who is down in, I guess, sunny Florida. Sunny somewhere in Florida, I guess. Maybe not where he is, but it's definitely sunny somewhere. You can catch Bill at 93.1 FM in Macon, 99.5 FM in Warner Robins, and also writing for the Macon Telegraph at Macon.com.